Are you ready to dip in?
Welcome to Season 2 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. We're your hosts,
Freya
and Holly, bringing you the pod where lifestyle meets spirituality.
Let's chat about personal growth, navigating life, and raising our vibrations together.
New episodes dropping every week.
Woo! Let's take the plunge.
Welcome back, Dippers, to another episode of the Divine Intervention Podcast. Today we have episode 5, and we're going to be talking all things past lives, which I'm really excited about. What about you, Freya?
I'm so excited. So Holly recently had a past life regression session with an astrologer, I believe, and I'm just so curious to hear all about it. We actually saved this conversation for the podcast, so I know absolutely nothing, and I'm so, so keen to find out more. But first, as always, we're going to start off with the card of the week and the astro news of the week. So Holly, what is going on in the stars this week?
So this week, coming up on Saturday, the 10th of February, we have a new moon, and it is the new moon in Aquarius. And so now this moon holds a very special spot in my heart because it's actually my birthday on the 14th. And so it's a new moon signifying new beginnings, and it's in my sun sign, which is Aquarius. And it's just really beautiful energy to work with. So the new moon signifies new beginnings and a time for manifestation and inviting new things into your life with some nice, strong intentions. Being in the sign of Aquarius, this new moon is really asking us, how can we be more innovative in our life? How can we be more visionary? So Aquarius is the innovator. It is the sign of the zodiac that we say is ahead of its time. Aquarius is always in the future. We say that Aquarius energy has lapped everyone else. They're so far in the future. And so this is really cool energy to work with because it really asks us, how can you invite more futuristic thinking? How can you start to look at your life a little bit more differently and invite maybe an unconventional way of thinking into your life and into your projects, into your relationships? Being a fixed sign though, Aquarius can be a little bit resistant to change. So it's a beautiful time to focus on a manifestation or an intention that helps you flow through change and helps you perhaps view change as something that is necessary and positive rather than negative and a setback. That is the energy that we are working with this week with the new moon in Aquarius.
It is beautiful, and it ties in so nicely with the tarot card of the week, which is the Ace of Cups. This card is very much about new beginnings, new emotions, new relationships, but it can also be something new in the creative space or even a work venture. When we speak about relationships with the Ace of Cup energy, it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic. It can also be a friendship or a business partnership. It's just a lot of fresh energy, positive energy. Even when you come out of a situation that is no longer serving you, like we've seen in the previous weeks, there's all this new positive energy for you out there, and it's time to try something new. You can combine it beautifully with the new moon in Aquarius. What can I learn from the past? What can I change to get a more desirable outcome this time? Just really try and embrace the new loving energy this week and go after the things that you want, Dippers.
That is so beautiful. I love this because Aquarius is that rebellious, stand out from the crowd, do things a little bit different energy. So I feel like that ties in so well with the Ace of Cups.
Absolutely. Invite in the new and change what needs to be changed. This is the week ahead.
The week ahead.
This week, we're talking about past lives, and more specific, we're going to start off with talking to Holly about her recent past life regression. So for some of you listening to this episode, you may be thinking, what the hell is that? I share a little bit of that. I'm not too familiar with a past life regression. The thing that I know, and I will sort of describe it, and you let me know, Holly, if it was similar to that, it's basically someone that is trained to do so and has gained those skills. It's going to sit down with you and it's going to dive into your ancestors, some lessons that you may carry with you in this lifetime that come out of a previous lifetime, maybe some trauma that you can be holding on to. Is it something related to that?
Yeah, for sure, Freya. I'm also not too familiar with past life regressions. So I received this as a Christmas present from my boyfriend, which was so sweet.
So thoughtful.
So nice. But in the same vein of what you were just saying before, Freya, when I was telling people, they'd be a bit like, what'd you get for Christmas? And I was like, oh, my partner bought me this awesome gift. It's a past life regression. They'd be like, huh? What?
It will definitely be a surprise. It's definitely different than your general, oh, nice gold necklace or whatever. I love it. It's
perfume.
A beautiful gift. Yeah, it's a beautiful gift.
Yeah, for sure. Before this session that I attended, which was with an astrologer, which is a little bit different to past life regressions run by non-astrologers, so I believe. So what you were describing, Freya, is more of a psychic medium style past life regression, so I believe, don't take my word for it, but that is where they're connecting more in with spirit, maybe connecting more in with spirit guides and past loved ones and gaining some insight directly from spirit. So working with an astrologer, it was really, really cool because she focused on an aspect in your chart called the South Node. And so in our astrological chart, we have a South Node and a North Node. And so our North Node signifies our destiny and what our soul really wants to experience this lifetime. And in opposition, the South Node really represents a past life theme. It represents where we've been and what we've already experienced.
Beautiful.
Yeah, hence why the soul wants to experience something vastly different this lifetime. And on your astrological chart, your South Node and North Node are always in oppositional signs. So for me, my South Node is in Cancer, and therefore my North Node is in Capricorn. And so they are opposites and very, very different energy.
That is so, so interesting. So when we speak about past lives and the lesson that we now need to learn in this lifetime, right? You said the South Node is about lessons that we have learned in a previous life and experience we have had in a previous life. Is that right? Did you say that?
Yeah. So it's a theme and an experience of the type of life we've had.
Yeah. So that is what a type of life that we've had, like our soul, not necessarily our ancestors. Is that right?
Yeah, not necessarily our ancestors. Yeah, well, potentially our ancestors or other people in our soul family might have been with us in those past lives.
Of course.
But this is, yeah, directly related to the self.
We're dipping very deep into the spirituality today. It differs. This is beautiful. I'm so excited. So you mentioned that your north and your south node are linked to a specific zodiac sign. Does that mean that the lesson or the desire of this lifetime is the same for everyone with that zodiac sign, or is it more like a general sort of touch point?
It will be very similar. So other people born around the same time as me will have the South Node in Cancer, North Node in Capricorn. They'll basically have the same past life themes. As always with astrology, we look at it holistically. So Dippers, I'm sure you might relate to this, but if you say have two friends and maybe they're both Capricorn signs, but they're both very different. And so this is because the rest of their charts will be different. And so the same thing goes for the South Node. So yes, you will have the same past life themes, but potentially the way those lessons are showing up for you in this lifetime and the way that you're supposed to head for your North Node directive will look a little bit different based off of the rest of your chart. But underlying, those themes will be quite similar.
So interesting. And that can actually be a great tool to find new friends and meaningful relationships, I'm thinking. Look, like, obviously, this is something that is hard to find out. You're not going to say to someone when you first meet them, so what is your, what sign is your South Node in? But I am thinking, like, you probably have a similar experience in life or similar desire underneath things, which can be such a good ground for friendships.
100%. And well, Dippers, I'm going to be talking to Fry about her North Node and South Node a little bit later in the episode. But now that I know what her North Node and South Node are, that was very North Node of her, according to her sign. So I'll divulge that information a little bit later.
I want to make friends in life. Is that my mission? I love it.
No, the deep and meaningful connections.
All right.
So nice.
Enough about me. I want to hear about your experience. So please, Holly, talk us through it. What happened? What could you prepare something? How was it when you walked in? What did you learn? Was it what you expected? I just have so many questions. Start from the beginning.
Well, I had the most beautiful astrology past life regression with a beautiful astrologer called Vanessa Montgomery, and she's actually located here on the Gold Coast. And so that was very special for me to be able to do this reading with her in person. It was also extra special for me because being an astrologer myself, although she has a lot more experience than me, it was really amazing because we could just talk in astro lingo. I knew a lot of the references she was making and she could really talk to me in that way. And I could really understand on that deeper astrological level, which was amazing. But basically I walked in and we started talking about astrology. We dived into the south node, north node of the chart. So we briefly ran over Cancer south node and Capricorn north node. Not as much north node we didn't focus on because this was all about past life. So we really focused on that Cancer south node. So for me, Cancer energy is not something that's present in my chart really anywhere else except this south node. Wow. But once I started to learn about how your south node shows up for you, it really started to make so much sense as to this is the side of me that is so sensitive and caring and nurturing and soft.
Yeah, perhaps for the dippers that do not out of the top of the head know the characteristics of each zodiac sign, like how would you describe the typical Cancer energy?
So Cancer is ruled by the moon and Cancer is known as the mother. So very nurturing energy, very warm, very sensitive, emotional, loves to look after others, you know, a bit of the mother duck of your friend group. She's probably a Cancer.
Beautiful.
Yeah, super cute. And so in my astrology chart, I have a lot of Aquarius energy, some Taurus energy, and a little bit of Pisces, which is similar to Cancer. But a lot of the time, I often don't relate to all of this Aquarius energy because I'm so emotional and I'm so sensitive. And I'm just like, where is this coming from? I just don't relate a lot of the time to some of this Aquarius talk.
Absolutely. I feel like sometimes I even say something in a fleeting comment to you, like how Pisces of you, because to me you feel so Pisces, which to me are the very emotional people and the creative people. So it's so interesting that you say that you don't always relate to your Aquarius energy. So does the emotional side to your personality come from this south node in Cancer?
Yes, I believe that's where it comes from mostly, as well as my little Venus in Pisces. So there you go. That's really shines through my personality as I've noticed. You know, Venus is that planet of friendships, partnerships, romance, connections. And so obviously when I'm connecting with others, especially on a close friendship level or romantic level, they're really seeing that Pisces in me. But this Cancer south node, so dippers, whatever sign your south node is in, you're going to naturally embody some of these characteristics because you've experienced these themes in a past life and you brought them into this lifetime. And so your job this lifetime with the south node is to recognize the characteristics as a whole, and you want to release the negative traits and embrace the positive traits. And this will make way for you to really head towards the opposite sign, which is your north node. So it's quite complicated. We won't go too heavy into the north node, south node. But yeah, I just found that so interesting. I already knew that my south node was Cancer and I'd already done a little bit of reading and done some deep dive research for myself, but it was really great to talk to an astrologer in person about it. And so she said, family is such a strong theme for the Cancer south node. And so in past lives, I was probably part of a team, part of a tribe, part of a family, very used to having people around me, supporting me. Capricorn, on the other hand, which is my north node, the opposite to Cancer, it's the extreme opposite. So it is very much the individual striving, running businesses, being the CEO, being the provider.
So in your past life, you have been part of that family and you've had that beautiful family. And is that then the trigger for you, for your north node, now wanting something different, now wanting to be that provider? Is there then some sort of traumatic experience underlying that triggers that you want to move away from that? Because to me, like, that sounds great to be part of a loving family. Like, why would you want to move forward? And knowing you, I think you need that family. You crave that family a lot. I know that you also care about being independent, but if I would have to pick or choose one for you, I would probably say, like, you would value more being part of a tight-knit family, having beautiful relationships, having a safe home base, than necessarily providing.
And that makes so much sense because the south node is our comfort zone. The south node is where we go when we are stressed. It's what we default to because we're familiar with it. So again, it's that thing of, it's very comfortable for you. It's secure. And so for me, it is comfortable and secure for me to have support network and having others around me to protect me and support me and all of that. And I love that. But there's that little part of your soul that's like, yeah, okay, this is cool, but we've done this before. So we want to go out on our own and it's going to be uncomfortable as fuck, but we want to do it anyway.
Interesting.
And so, and I resonate with that so much because Capricorn energy is obviously quite different to any energy I have in me. And whilst I have been very ambitious in my life, high achiever, set goals, that kind of thing, but at the same time, I shy away from it sometimes. And so there's that part of me, my soul is really yearning for that, to reach that kind of successful, career-driven vibe that Capricorn's all about. So it's really a push-pull kind of tension point. It's like, I want to do it, but it's going to be uncomfortable.
Well, it's interesting because you just come off the back of 5 months in Bali on your own, which is probably very much leaning into your north node, right? Like trying to go out on your own there, not having any support there, like no family there. Having to work enough to provide for yourself there, that is very much leaning into your north node.
Yeah, 100%. And a few people kept asking me before I left for Bali and when I was in Bali, oh, like, what are you doing over there? Or what's the purpose of this? And my answer was a little bit like, I don't really know. I just feel like I have to do this. I want to go off and be on my own and have a solo adventure. I need to leave Australia behind for a while, just go do my own thing, focus on myself. And I don't know, maybe underlying there was a little bit of trying to prove to myself that I could do it. I have been quite a strong, independent person my whole life, but that was just something I felt like I had to do. And so you're exactly right. And I have a beautiful set of oracle cards. That's my astrology deck. And every time I was pulling cards for myself in Bali, the North Node card kept flying out. Destiny, 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 amazing. Destiny.
Beautiful. So is this specific lesson or your desire and your ambition to lean into that north node, is that specific to this lifetime?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because what about that south node then? Is that just one lifetime prior or plenty of lifetimes prior?
Well, we can never really be certain for sure, okay, but we can say that at least one of the lifetimes, that was a really strong thing.
Okay.
And so by default, we're going to bring some of those traits into this world, into this lifetime with us. And so that's why we need to embrace the positive side of the sign and try and release the not so desirable traits of the sign.
Yes. Or if you want to grow, obviously, because you can choose as well, I imagine, to stay comfortable in yourself.
Of course you can.
And have a great life.
Of course you can. But, you know, we're here on this earth to learn and grow and evolve. Yeah. So it's interesting. And that is why all of us will feel pulled towards our north node, even though we want to stay in the comfort of the south node. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
So what are the more shadow negative sides to your south node in Cancer?
So I hope I don't offend any little Cancers out there with me talking about this. But talking about negative traits of the sign can be a little bit confronting.
Let's say more challenging sides then. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, exactly. Challenging traits of a sign. So Cancer energy can be quite moody because they get very emotional and very empathetic. So they're picking up on the vibes of everyone around them and they don't know how to handle that kind of energy. So they can get a little bit moody and definitely this can come across to others. Cancers can be a little bit insecure at times because they are used to having that family support network, cushy, comfy home vibe. And so they can get a little bit insecure at times. Cancer energy can be resistant to being independent and so not wanting to go and do things by themselves, always needing someone to hold their hand, that kind of vibe. And being a little bit not wanting to do any risk taking, wanting to just stay in the comfort of their home, eat their delicious food, cuddle up with their dogs. And so I know that everyone can resonate with this energy anyway.
Wait. Is my Cancer in? No,
it's not.
Because it feels like it's me.
I'm not saying that that's a bad trait at all, wanting to eat delicious food and cuddle on the couch with your dogs at all. But it's if you're afraid of getting out of that comfort zone and going out and doing things on your own and really taking risks and, just getting out into the world more as an individual and being less home focused. So,
yes. Interesting.
So, yeah.
Did she touch on any specific scenarios for you of what happened in your past life? Or are we then a little bit more in the clairvoyant psychic basket?
No. So then we went into basically a meditative state. And so I laid down and Vanessa guided me through this relaxing meditation. And it was like a visualization vibe. It was imagining my feet were stretching, imagining my head was stretching, imagining I was floating up out of my body and coming back down, imagining I was floating up and looking down at the house, but always coming back down to the ground and grounding myself, but then practicing kind of like coming out of the body. So I thought that was really, really cool. And so once we did that for a bit, we floated up to the sky and I was looking at the Gold Coast below me. And then she was prompting me to float back down to earth and come into what she would call scene one. And so throughout the sessions, we visited four scenes for me, and each time was a different vision, basically. And so typically I'm not a very visual person. So in meditations, I really struggle to get strong visions and stuff. It's more like I teeter on the edge of, is that a bit of a dreamlike vision? Or there are some people out there who are very visual, like my partner's one of them. He just gets like all these beautiful visuals when he meditates, and I have to try really hard. But I had some amazing visions in this past life regression. And so the first one, I'd come back down to earth and I was standing in this desert. Vanessa was amazing. She was prompting me to look down at my feet and really get a feel for where I was, who I was.
So is this Vanessa saying to you, now you're in the desert?
No.
Or you can... Mm-hmm.
She was just the facilitator. So she guided me back down to the earth, and she would do these beautiful prompts like, look down at your feet. What are you wearing? Where do you think you are? How do you think this character feels?
Beautiful.
And so my first character was kind of like, if anyone knows The Last Airbender, mm-hmm. Avatar, this person, he was male, and he felt like Aang from The Last Airbender. It was that kind of vibe. Yeah, like bald head, robes, that kind of vibe, but like desert explorer trekking kind of vibes.
Beautiful.
And then she was like, how does this character feel? And I was just like, oh my God, this character feels sad. So sad. And I was like, they've lost something. They're on their own. And I was like, they're confident. They're like, yep, I'm just me trekking through the desert doing my thing, but I've lost something. And like the message that kind of came out of that was like, be grateful for what you've got because you could lose it.
Also, big Capricorn energy and not having that Cancer South Node family.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Big time. And I got this sense that this man, this character, had lost something dear. And I was getting the vibe it was family. He was on his own then.
Wow, what a message.
And so we came out of that, floated back up into the universe, looking down at the earth, then came back down for scene two. Scene two, I felt like I was the same character, the same man, bald head. But this time, instead of like tattered desert robes, I had flowing silk kind of robes. And I was standing on this white paved, kind of like Arabia. I know the Taj Mahal's in India, but it was very like Taj Mahal building vibes.
This is all very exotic. You've been around the world in the previous lives. This is worldwide here.
I know. And I actually love anything to do with Arabia and Arabic music and all of that. So that's interesting.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So I was alone in this palace overlooking the desert. I walked through some of the kind of outdoor areas of the palace, but I was very much alone. And I got the feeling that that's where I belonged, but it's not like I was the king or anything. I was just part of a family that lived there. So that was kind of the vibe I got there. So then we floated back out and came back down for scene three, complete change of scenery. This time I was this beautiful woman standing in this like forest, and she had long, like chocolatey curly hair, like darker skin. And it was kind of giving me Pocahontas vibes.
So in this scenario, are you the person or are you looking at the person?
The intention of this past life regression is for you to be first person, you to be the person.
Yeah.
My brain and my imagination was flicking a bit. I would flick from being first person and then flick to being to looking at the character.
So you could fully see the character.
Yeah. Sometimes. So it was, yeah, Vanessa was very much encouraging me to stay in first person to really get the feelings. And so I was trying my best. But basically I was walking through this forest and I got the vibe that I was on the side, the edge of the forest. And there was like some meadows and stuff and mountains around. And I had some kids with me, but they weren't my kids. It was like I was taking them out and we were like pretend hunting, exploring. And I had a spear. That's right. I had a spear.
Wow.
It was like nightfall was coming and I had to get the kids back to the village. And so we emerge out of the forest into this meadow and there's teepees everywhere, walk into the village. And it's like, this is our village. And then I walk over to the communal like fire in the middle. And there's a elderly woman there, so our grandma, one of the elders of the village. And I go down and I kneel beside her and I know instantly this is like a grandma of mine from this lifetime.
Beautiful.
And the vibe I got in there was that my character, this girl, she'd grown up here, she'd learned all the skills, and the elderly grandmother was expecting me to take my place in the village, kind of like climb the ranks and then therefore become a leader of the village and become like an elder. But I had other ideas. I wanted to leave for however long, wanted to go off on my own voyage, my own adventure, with the intention of coming back and then sharing what I'd learned with the village. So it was like the grandma was a little bit like, oh, I understand, but I'm disappointed, but I get it kind of vibe. Yeah, she was very much, this character was like, I've been given all the tools and skills that I need. I've learned everything I need. Now I'm ready to go off my adventure, but I'll be back. That was the vibe I got.
Very interesting. I feel like all these three have a very thing in common where it's very much you on your own, feeling the need to explore, feeling the need to go, which is interesting because that South Node was all about in your past life, you've been part of a family, you've been part of a village, and you said that, but you still, even though you were part of it, felt like these were not your children. You were not ready to take on your role to nurture.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
So interesting.
Because it's much more the North Node or where you want to go in this lifetime.
So I think that there's like a repeating lesson for me. And so it's popping up in these past lifetimes. And had I stayed and gone deeper, I did do one more scene, but had it gone even deeper and deeper, maybe I would have kept going further back and further back. And found that I had several lifetimes maybe in cushy family vibes. And so these ones were very much like, the first one was a bit cherish what you've got because I lost it all. The next one was like, I've got it all, but I want to go off on my own for a bit. And then the last scene that I was standing on like the edge of a dock with like a really rough sea. It was kind of like a bay with these big cliffs all around, like this fishing village vibe. And the vibe that I got, I was this girl who had very white skin and this like curly red hair. And she was bored. She was like, I don't want to be here, but I'm stuck. I think she had a job on the docks, but she didn't earn much money. And so therefore she had to steal, and she was stealing fish. Don't ask me how I knew this. I just knew in the moment that that's what was happening. And so I would earn a little bit of keep from working on the docks, but then I'd steal fish, walk through the village and take it home to my family. And so I ended up back at the little family home, back tucked in towards the base of the cliff. And it was this little like house, a little gate, walked in, and there's my mom, well, a woman who I knew was my mom in that lifetime, and a little brother, and I think a grandma was there as well. So it was, yeah, mom, grandma, myself, and little brother. And so, and I'd bring home fish, and my mom would always be so grateful. She never asked me where I got the fish from. Maybe she suspected, but I was like the kind of like the provider for the family, but also helping look after my little brother. And so therefore I had this yearning for like, I'm so bored. I don't want to be here. I'd like to get out and explore the world, but I can't. I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere.
So stuck in that Cancer South Node.
Completely stuck. And so it's interesting because that's where we stopped, because I felt like that was enough because that went for a while.
How long did this take? Because this is exactly a lot to take in.
Maybe the actual past life regression took like an hour.
Wow. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's why. So it's like I wanted to go into more visions, but I felt like I was getting tired and I couldn't go into. So I just wonder, based off of working backwards from the man in the desert to the girl in the forest to then the girl at the docks, it was kind of like working backwards. And I wonder if we had gone further back, that would have been very much more just like tight-knit family vibes.
Yes.
But it seems like there was a recurring lesson, like, you know, she wanted to break free of the family and go do her own thing. The next one actually was doing it, but she was coming back. And the last one, he had actually lost everything and been forced to go out on his own.
Yeah.
So it's just super interesting because in this lifetime, I have very much been through my own challenges with family, leaving family business, leaving old partners, old romantic partners, friendships, like all of that, challenging me to break free of this kind of South Node theme and working more towards this Capricorn North Node theme.
So, so interesting. Even though we said before that this North Node lesson is for this specific lifetime, it seems like in the previous ones, you've been building up this lesson and it has already been there, like in a smaller form.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like there's no way for me to truly know exactly when I was like born in my past life to know if I had my North Node, but it definitely seems like there's a theme. And it's like, we often say that it can take several lifetimes to learn certain lessons, you know?
What are your biggest takeaways from this session?
I really tried to go in without too much pressure and too much expectation. I just really wanted to let it all come and just feel that excitement of seeing maybe what I'd been or done in a past life. I forgot to say that before we went into the regression, Vanessa helped me come up with a statement that was very much like, help show me scenes that are resonant of my Cancer South Node and how I can move towards my North Node in Capricorn. So that kind of like statement. So the takeaway I got was really that this is a repeating cycle for me. This is a repeating lesson, and that I am making the right choices in this lifetime to be more out on my own, to really shed the layers of being overly connected with family or overly enmeshed with friendships or partners, and really focus on myself. And it's not selfish. So that's probably one of the biggest takeaways. And so it's very much like, that is what I'm meant to be doing this lifetime. I'm meant to be out on my own.
Beautiful. And that can be such a compass for you to help guide you through the rest of your life.
For sure. Such a beautiful session. Highly recommend, everyone.
Thank you so much, Holly, for telling us about your past life regression. That sounds like such a wonderful experience. And that would have given you so much insight in yourself, in your personality, and your past life, but also how to navigate the future and what your lesson is in this lifetime. I think that is so valuable, and it's amazing that you got this as a gift. How cool. I'm definitely gonna write it down, perhaps book in a session for myself. And also, this is, like I just said, the greatest gift to give someone, because it brings you so much and for a longer amount of time. Now, I can't wait to find out what my South Node is in. I have no idea.
So astrology is such a beautiful tool, and without even having to do a past life regression, you can try and understand a little bit of some themes that happen to you by knowing your South Node. So Freya, you have a South Node in Taurus.
Ooh!
And a North Node in Scorpio.
Yeah, see, that one is not surprising.
So basically, okay, so let's run through some themes for Taurus, right? So Taurus is an earth sign. Taurus loves to be stable, secure, comfortable, and essentially risk-free and enjoying the luxuries of life.
Oh, this is me.
And appreciating beauty.
Yes. This is me in a nutshell.
I'm literally getting goosebumps. This is so funny.
Because it's so me.
Mm-hmm. So you. So I would say that some past life themes for you, you would have been in very comfortable situations, well looked after, probably very financially stable, very much indulging in the finer comforts of life. You know, Taurus loves to delight those five senses. So it's beautiful food, nice smelling things, beautiful like plants, beautiful things to look at, artistry. And so in a past life, maybe you were an artist, or maybe you were a wealthy royal. Can't know for sure, but it very much says that this was some themes that you've had in your past life, and therefore you're going to bring these themes into this current life with you, in saying that the things that make you feel comfortable and less stressed is being financially comfortable, being in an environment that feels secure for you with a nice relationship with someone, having that security, and really, yeah, indulging in those really gorgeous, yummy things in life that make you feel comfortable.
This is so interesting. I feel so seen, because this is exactly how I have set up my life right now and how I'm living my life. I'm curious to know what the more challenging sides are to that, because all of these things, I'm just like, yes, I love it.
So Taurus definitely has some shadow sides to this sign. So some of the shadows are materialism. So getting too caught up in having material items in this lifetime and using material items as like a sign for that you're successful or a sign for worth. Some other traits of Taurus that aren't as desirable is stubbornness, like extreme stubbornness, fixed signs, so it can be very resistant to change as well, but very stubborn. And the other one I wanted to bring up was can be very clingy to money. It goes both ways as well, though. So like Taurus can be quite clingy to that money because it can appear in the form of a scarcity mindset of I need this to be secure. Or it can also appear in the other way of I value this so much, so I want to share it with my loved ones. So it's really a beautiful thing to try and find that mid-range of keeping yourself financially comfortable, but then also sharing it with your loved ones, because Taurus loves to provide.
I feel like I'm seeking comfort in, I don't feel like I necessarily need to be financially stable. I love when my partner is.
For sure, because it gives you that security.
Because it gives me that security. And yeah, perhaps in that way, that probably is my clingy side, is that I feel very comfortable in relying on a partner in that way. And I'm not afraid to say that at all, which is quite interesting sometimes, I find, because obviously I'm a Capricorn, I'm really ambitious, I'm really hardworking, but I've never had that in me where I'm like, no, I need to be fully independent, financially independent, I don't need a man. Like that sort of energy is just not me at all. I do really resonate with that. It makes sense to me that my south node is in Taurus. I'm not too worried about the shadow sides at this point in time, but I'm very curious to see what my north node is, because you mentioned it was Scorpio. No surprise there, because a lot of my signs and placements are in Scorpio. But even though I really resonate with the Scorpio placement, I'm not too sure what it means for my north node. Could you refresh my memory again? What does the north node stand for? Was this the desires in our lifetime, or like where we should try and progress to?
Yeah, so it is a soul's desire for our life. It is a destiny point. Our soul is called to this. We feel pulled to this to experience these themes this lifetime. And it is the opposite to whatever we've experienced with our south node in the past.
Okay.
So with you, Taurus in your past life was all about that security and not taking any risks. So being very comfortable, knowing the outcome, knowing you're going to be sweet, basically. Scorpio is the opposite. Scorpio is all about taking risk, diving into the unknown, diving into the depths, the darkness, going deeper and deeper, discovering truths, uncovering secrets, this kind of energy. And so it's very opposite to the Taurus, because the Taurus is the safety and the Scorpio is the danger.
Yes.
So the Scorpio is basically encouraging you to take risks this lifetime, you know, like really get out of that comfort zone, really throw caution to the wind, say, fuck the security. I want to go on something dangerous, have a thrill, basically. This is what Scorpio is calling you to do.
I feel like I'm kind of leaning into that by moving to the other side of the world, taking a risk on that, working for myself instead of like a conventional 9-to-5 job. So yeah, I feel like I've definitely honored that for the first part of my life a little bit. I do immediately think though, no, I can lean into that a little bit more. There's definitely some areas in my life where I feel like I avoid the uncomfortable feelings. I'm a little bit of like a healthcare avoider, because I always just think, what if I go there and I go for like, you know, like a headache or whatever. What if I go there and they find like the worst thing they could potentially find? So I would rather not go. I feel like I could lean into that Scorpio side a bit more, like just be open to it, whatever it may be, the darker sides of things. Like we mentioned earlier in previous episodes, like the traumas, the breath work, like really sitting with that. So it's so interesting to have it confirmed that also my north node is in that Scorpio sign. It does immediately make me feel like this lifetime for me is quite heavy, because I have so many Scorpio placements or Capricorn placements, which is not necessarily the most lightheartedness of all. So it's so interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Very interesting.
Of course, it is. Scorpio is such intense energy to work with. And anyone I've ever met, to be fair, that has a Scorpio north node, most of them have heaps of other Scorpio placements. And that is because I feel like Scorpio energy can be hard at times, you know? It can be a lot to deal with the intense emotions and like some of the trust issues, some of the jealousy, some of the skepticism, some of the not caring too much about the fluffy things in life and just wanting to really talk about the down, deep, dirty stuff, you know? Mm. And so it can be really hard to harness and embrace this energy. And so I think a lot of people get given Scorpio in other placements to really kind of present this theme to you for this life and yes, help you on your way.
Yeah. And so you also can't avoid it, and you just have to be confronted with it in multiple areas of your life, because it's probably something that is so easy to put in a too hard basket and just let go, because, you know, who wants to go into the deep depths of trauma? And
of course
some of us do.
Well, that's what I mean. Scorpio energy wants something, yes, raw, real, meaningful and honest. Scorpio values honesty so highly. And so before, when you were saying, oh, if you find out someone else that has the same north node as you or south node, like that could be a pathway to a really deep, meaningful friendship, I was like, that's very Scorpio north node of you, because Scorpio wants the deep and meaningful ride and die, trust you with my life vibe.
It has been so interesting dipping deeper into the past lives. I feel like there's so much more we could speak about on this subject, but this has been such an interesting first touch with it. Now, for the dippers listening that would like to find out their north or their south node, or maybe both, do you have any tips on how they can find that?
Definitely. So any kind of astrology birth chart generator, you just need to know your day of birth, your place of birth, your time of birth. Plug those details in and you'll be presented with a chart and you'll be able to look up where your south node and north node are. As always, if it confuses you, please seek out an astrologer. You can contact myself, or there are plenty of astrologers out there as well willing to help, because it can be a little bit hard to decipher, but so rewarding once you find a little more tidbits out.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your very personal past life regression session that you had. It has been wonderful to listen to, and I'm sure that so many people out there are now maybe going to book one in or consider looking deeper into that. So thank you so much. I look so forward to chatting with you again next week.
Love talking about past lives this week, Freya, and keen in the future sometime to dip a little bit more into it, you know, dreams, deja vu. So dippers, please let us know if you've had any past life visions yourself, or you have an inkling of what you might have been or done in a past life. We would love to hear. But anyway, we will see you at next week's episode.
Until our paths align again.
We'll see you at the next dip.